appropriate.
So no guns.
No. Okay, so tithes and offerings. We are taking a break from the journey with Jesus because I have an awesome word today, and then we'll go into, I love to teach on how that giving is in the Bible in the story of Christmas, and so we'll go into that. So we'll take a break on the journey with Jesus for a couple weeks, and today's is an offering of too much. I would love to be able to stand before you and tell you what Moses told the congregation of Israel, that your offering is too much. Please stop. Right? That's where we're headed. Amen? Where there is too much. And so if you want to open your Bibles to Exodus 25, just very briefly, I'm going to go over about three portions of Scripture just so you can see what the Lord was doing. And in verse 25, the Lord spoke to Moses in verse 1, and he said, "Speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering, and this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin, dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for light, spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, ox stones, stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Now I want to stop and remind you, well actually I'm going to ask you, does anybody remember where we are right now in this portion of the Bible? Are we in Egypt? Do this. Are we in the desert? Do this. They just left Egypt, right? So don't let anyone tell you, that those slaves that were slaves for those hundreds of years in Egypt left Egypt poor. Because if they left Egypt poor, what is he asking? God's asking for the impossible for them, right? If they left Egypt poor, they did not leave Egypt poor. The Lord told them, you go to your neighbors and the people around you and you ask from them for gold and for jewelry and for clothing. He set them out of Egypt, and I believe they got all their back pay. Everything that should have been due to them, they received. And so the Lord, this is his call for the offering. Now go over to Exodus 35, a couple chapters. Now in between, I'm going to go over it really quickly. In between the 25 and 35, they get themselves in a mess. They really do. And during that time frame is when they decide to build the golden calf, and they just get themselves in a mess. But let's look in verse 20 of chapter 35. And it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle, the meeting, and for all of its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who had an offering of gold to the Lord, and every man whom was found blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair," and he goes on and on and on. "Everyone who offered an offering of silver, bronze, brought the Lord's offering. They brought the wood. All the women who were gifted to spin yarn with their hands, they brought purple and gold, purple and blue and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts were stirred with wisdom spun the yarn of goat's hair." So we go on and on. "The rulers, they brought the onyx stones. The children of Israel brought," in verse 29, "a freewill offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work of the Lord by the hand of Moses had commanded to be done." Why do you suppose that they were so willing? I believe their hearts were thankful. Not only thankful that the Lord had brought them out of Egypt, not only thankful that he was guiding them with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, not only were they grateful that they were provided manna and quail every day, but just a few chapters back, they all could have been completely wiped out because of their dumb decisions to jump ahead of God. And I find it so amazing the word he says, the willing heart or the willing spirit. That's what the Lord said. He said, Tell those who bring to me, have them come to me with a willing heart or a willing spirit. Because you know in that group of people, there were those that went home and went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, the Lord can have those 6. And then you know that there were those who had a willing heart and a willing spirit that went home and dug down deep and brought it before the Lord. Because there's a difference in hearts. You can have two people hear the same sermon on giving, and one will go home and do very little with it. And you'll have another go home, and they just dive in. There's a willing spirit. There is a willing heart. And that is what I want you to grab hold of today. In order to get to this place where it's an offering that is too much, it comes down to your willing heart and your willing spirit. Having that heart of gratefulness for all God has done. I've just, from the moment I woke up this morning, I've just been overwhelmed by his presence. Not in a bad way, but just so awesome. When you stop and you really think about all that he's done in your life. Joni, I was thinking about how we've been praying for her months for her daughter to find a house, and she found a house. And not only did she find a house, she found two sisters to be roommates that also come from a great family. For those of you who don't have kids, as a mom, that makes your heart go, oh, whew, okay, she's in L.A. She's got good roommates. She's safe. I was thinking about, you know, when you go out to do the laundry and you could have sworn you did it all last night. And I walk out at 7 o'clock this morning and it's filled again. But in my heart, I went, but that means I have a husband and children that are filling these baskets. Things that I wasn't sure that were coming my way. Just this overwhelming sense of gratefulness. I just want to encourage you. I just pray that this spirit of gratefulness just goes over all of you. Amen. That you're going to walk into work on Monday and you're going to be weeping. And people are going to be like, are you okay? Yes, I have a job. You have a job. We get insurance and benefits. I remember a time when Liz didn't have a job. Looked and looked and looked. And now she has a great job with great benefits. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? A willing spirit, a willing heart. Go to chapter 36 and verse 3. I promise I'll close quickly here. Moses is talking with those who are doing the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the sanctuary, of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Every morning. This isn't just a one-time deal. They kept coming and coming and coming and coming. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work that he was doing. They had to stop their work. They had to stop their work. Now, try to imagine this for a minute. You've got guys over here working and guys over here working and guys over here working, and Moses is sending out his runners, and they're going over here and they're bringing more stones, and they're going over here and they're bringing more thread, and they're going over here and they're bringing more wood, and they're going over here and they're bringing more gold, and they're going over here and they're bringing more silver. In the midst of these guys, have you ever worked on something before and you got it all lined up and then someone comes over and brings you more? You know that feeling of like, oh my word, I just need to get this done, okay? So this is what they're doing. It keeps coming and coming. So each one came from the work that he was doing in verse 5, and they spoke to Moses saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the Lord, which the Lord commanded us to do. Stop! There's too much. There's too much. So Moses gave a command. I love this. Listen to this. Moses had to give a command. He had to command them and say, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing too much. How awesome, you guys. I am believing that is where Redeemed Church is going, is where we're going to have to stand up in here and say, okay, guys, woo, wait, our building's built and paid for, our land is paid for, our missionaries, every one of them are paid for, and we've got more set aside still, and this is paid for, and this is paid for, and this is paid for, and this is paid for. We need you to restrain yourselves from giving. How awesome is that? But it comes down to one thing: a willing spirit or a willing heart. A willing spirit or a willing heart. And that comes from being grateful. It's super easy to give when you're grateful. Super easy. Why? Because you're so grateful. You just want to give back to that person, right? Someone does something for you and you're overwhelmed with gratefulness. I think of the Mishlers. They sent text after text after text after text. So grateful for what we had done. That makes you want to just give them more, right? You know, that's what it produces inside of you, right? And that is what the Lord is looking for. Willing spirits, willing hearts today. And I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to restrain me from giving. I want to reach that point where I give so much. Whoa, Shelly, whoa, 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 whoa. Because my heart just is overflowing with gratefulness. We're coming into a week and a season where greed and holding on can just run over your life like a Mack truck. So I encourage you, start today with getting your heart lined up with the Lord and being grateful. And if you can't think of something to be grateful for, you're sitting here. You made it here somehow. Thank the Lord that you got here. Thank the Lord that you're able to sit in a chair. Thank the Lord that you're healthy. Thank the Lord that you're whole. Thank the Lord for your house. Thank him for your food. Because what happens, you just keep going and going and going. And before long, your heart changes. And that spirit just falls down. That's what we want today. Willing hearts and spirits. Amen? I love the Bible. So many amazing things in it. Grab your tithes and offerings. Whew, too much. Lord, too much. Too much. More than enough. This is the plan for your people. This is the plan for your house, Father. This is the plan for your church. Not just our church, but your church at large, that we would have more than enough for every good work. That it wouldn't be the state systems and the government systems, although we thank you for them. But we thank you, Lord, that the church is going to rise up and take her rightful place, where widows and orphans can come and be fed and be clothed and be housed, where missionaries can be sent out without even a thought of financial stress, that they can go and accomplish what you've called them to do without having to worry. We thank you, Lord, for a church that is debt-free at large, Father, so that we have the resources to give what you want us to give to who you want us to give it to. We just praise you and we thank you. The Redeemed Church says, we'll be the first. If nobody else says yes, we'll be the first. We will be debt-free. We will own our land. We will own our building. We will own the things in it debt-free, so that everything that comes in can be used for your purposes and your plans. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you that we want hearts like these people. We want willing and giving hearts like they had, grateful hearts, Father. So when the call comes for our land and our building, we're going to have to tell people, please restrain from your giving. It is already paid for. But in the meantime, Father, that means that we have to learn to get to that place. And so I pray, Father, over every person today, every seed that is sown, we call in a hundredfold harvest so that they're blessed and they're blessed to be a blessing. As you promised, as Abraham's seed, Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Join heirs with Jesus, that we're going to have more than enough, Father, to accomplish all that you've called us to do personally and all that you've called Redeemed Church to do. And we give you all the praise and all the glory today, Father, for a blessed Thanksgiving. No strife, not in one home that any of these people in this church walk into, there will be no strife. The moment their feet step in the door, strife leaves. We thank you that the peace of God is going to rule and reign. Everything is blessed. We bind sickness and symptoms, that health and wholeness goes with us. And we praise you, Father, that there are going to be family connections like there has never been. So much love, so much peace, so much joy, because we choose to take a stand today for our families. We choose to say, we will walk in, and when we walk in, you walk in with us, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for the most blessed Thanksgiving ever. We just give you all the praise and glory today for all that you're doing, Lord. Too much. Too much. Let that resonate in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anybody ever heard of Bill Winston? And love him, it's just a wonderful church in Chicago, and they share testimonies on what they've done in the community, and then he brings a word at the end, but it's primarily music and testimonies, and just, I love it. We actually turn it on, usually we throw a projector screen up on the wall, so it's like that big on my wall, and we just enjoy it, you know. It's just Thanksgiving, I love to watch a little extra TV maybe with the sports that's on, the parade, you know, the dog show. You know, I'm into all that stuff. Nostalgic, whatever. But we've started the day now with Bill Winston for the past few years, and it's wonderful. So check that out. You'll enjoy it. Amen. Let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your words to us today that are yes and amen. We receive everything you have for us, God, that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today, and we'll give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Let me get my act together here, my notes for the day. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue on our promotion through praise. Does anybody believe in God for supernatural promotion? Amen. That's okay. It's okay to believe God for that. Promotion comes from the Lord, right? Amen. And you don't have to go out there and promote yourself. You just preach Jesus. Just do what he tells you to do. And the Bible says, humble yourself on the side of the Lord and he will lift you up. And you know what? You need to be lifted up. Because the world can't see Jesus, but they can see you. They can't hear Jesus, but they can hear you. So he is all about lifting you up so they'll see Jesus in you. Amen? Whether that's in the realm of business or ministry or family or whatever it is that's on your heart to do, just be believing God. Don't allow, you know, this time of the year, as Shelley touched on a little bit, offenses and being angry at people and this kind of stuff. Just let that go like water off a duck's back. Have alligator skin, you know, forgive. Because if you harbor that stuff in your heart, it limits what God can do in you. You're only hurting yourself. Amen. So just say, Lord, I forgive. I don't care if it's somebody on the freeway or somebody at your house or somebody on social media or somebody in politics or, you know, Hollywood, whatever. Amen. Just forgive it. Another ministry, just forgive it. Amen. Because what you're doing is you're setting yourself free and you're setting yourself up for promotion from God. And today's message is going to be a good illustration of that. Amen. And promotion through praise. And our foundation text is Psalm 78, verses 70 and 71. And it says this. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. Now, David is a great example of somebody who would not take offense. And today's message is going to kind of camp around a little bit of the relationship between him and Saul. And if you've read the story, how Saul was trying to hunt him, Saul was kind of going loony, right? He was going nuts a little bit, right? Saul was all about building his kingdom. David was all about building God's kingdom, right? And Saul began with a good heart. He was humble, but he got lifted up in pride. You know the stories about King Saul. And David was chosen to replace Saul as king. David didn't choose himself, but he chose to agree with it. He chose to accept that calling, even though there was a psychopath hunting him down and an army hunting him down. And David, time after time after time after time, chose to not take offense to King Saul. Right? Chose to not harbor things in his heart. And so God was able to supernaturally promote him. Amen? It's a great illustration of who God is and the heart that God's looking for. Amen? This is a story about a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratefulness, and a heart that is going to be promoted supernaturally by the Spirit of God. Amen? And God is able to change the circumstances in your life. If I refuse to get involved in trying to change other people, isn't that what this is about, right? God, if you would just change my wife, then I would be able to do this. God, if you would just change my boss, then I would be able. God, if you would just change whoever's in office, then I would be. No. Somebody say no. No. God is about you changing you and me becoming more like Jesus, having a heart for God myself. Amen? But the verse I want to look at next is in 2 Samuel 23, verses 14 through 18. And again, King Saul is hunting David down. And David is hiding. And I chose this picture because this is called the Wilderness of Ziph. Somebody say the Wilderness of Ziph. I found it. You can find anything in Google. Amen? Google even had the Wilderness of Ziph. Right? And that's what it looks like. Now, there are parts of it that is forest and, you know, Judah, the Judean country and all that kind of stuff. It looks almost like out here in some places. But I know this is what David was describing. He was describing a desert experience. He had to hide for his life in the wilderness of Ziph. Right? And it says this, and David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day. Now, this is a good example of kind of some of the stuff we're seeing in our own country right now. The same spirit is trying to take down a leader that's doing stuff that God is pleased with. But instead of Saul doing his job, wasn't there 10 or 20, at least 5 or 10, 15 or 20 other things King Saul should have been about doing as king, rather than hunting down, you know, tweeting, posting, right? Trying to get him ousted. No, there was probably other things King Saul could have been occupied with. You see, to me, the biggest difference between King Saul and King David is King Saul thought God hated him. King Saul didn't have a revelation of God loves me. David did. You couldn't talk David out of God loves me. King Saul thought God wants to kill me. He hates me. Not true. Not true. And he went nuts because of it. Right? And so here we go. So Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. See, when you have a heart for God, God is involved. Don't forget the God factor. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever's happening in your life, don't forget the Jesus factor. If your heart is after him, he's involved. Somebody say he's involved, right? So even if so-and-so is trying to take you down, hurt you, come after you, when your heart is for God, God will not deliver you into their hand. Has anyone ever experienced this in your life, throughout the years of your life, where something was coming after you, but somehow you made it through? Glory to God, right? Here we go. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you." So, see, Jonathan's heart is right. Even though his dad, his father, wanted to take David down, Jonathan's like, "Hey, look, I recognize this in you, and I'm good with it. I don't need to be king. I need to be in God's will for my life." Right? Amen. "And I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that," he says, right? So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Praise the Lord. So, what a great heart. Amen? When you think of these two men's relationship and their friendship and their covenant they made together, hallelujah. But the word Ziph, I found it in, again, Hitchcock's Bible Names Dictionary. It means this mouth or mouthful. It means falsehood. Hitchcock's Bible Names Dictionary. Yep, that's what it came up as. So falsehood. Amen? So whatever this desert experience that maybe some of us have faced, maybe you are facing, it's a place where the devil will set up a lie and put you, make you feel like you're pigeonholed, right? And, you know, I was watching our Mighty Ducks last night, and they were having a desert experience at Arizona State out in the desert. And the past few years, they, for whatever reason, have just not been able to beat these guys. And last night was no exception. And they went down. They couldn't do anything right. I mean, nothing. They made Arizona State, that had lost four games in a row, look like the Baltimore Ravens. Just, it was amazing, right? Now, finally, late in the fourth quarter, they scored like three touchdowns and brought it up to, but then they gave up another bomb. You know, it's like just nothing was going right. Good example of a desert experience right there. Amen? The desert experience kind of makes you think about that place where nothing seems to be going right. Everything seems to be stacked against me. A place of lack, a place of shortage. You know, you hear the stories of, you know, I don't know if it's fables or not, but people having hallucinations out in the desert, kind of starting to lose their mind a little bit. Well, this is where David was in his life. Amen? I've been there. Amen? And in some areas, you might be there now. We might be there now, right? In some senses, we could say that our church is in a place like that, where we're meeting in a hotel space, and it looks like this lofty thing that we're believing God for, a property and a building and vision, all that kind of stuff. And the devil would say, "That ain't never going to happen. Look at what that costs. You guys ain't the right people to do that. Nobody goes to church in the Northwest." Right? And the devil, what is he doing? He's creating falsehood. "Ah, those people you partner with are nuts. They're just acting." Right? And he just creates falsehood. He accuses and comes at you, right? Well, somebody say, keep your heart right. The only way through this, church, is to stay in love and in touch with Jesus. Stay in love and in touch with Jesus throughout it all. Somebody say, don't forget the God factor. Don't forget the God factor. Amen? Well, Psalm 63, if you want to open your Bible there, that's where we're gonna hang out here for a bit. And this is something that King David wrote from that desert experience. And again, he had a number of different desert experiences. The one we just read sounds like, you know, it may have been more of a forest type situation, but there's other places where he was hiding in the desert. And this particular psalm, he definitely describes it as a desert experience. Amen. Psalm 63. And he says this, "O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. He's in the desert, right? And it's at the top of it, it says a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah, right? So a place like this up here. Amen. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Now see, here's why does a heart like this please God? Because David isn't building up the desert. He's not building up the shortage, the lack, the lies, the issues. He's saying, no, in spite of all this, I'm going to direct my heart and my thoughts and my praises to God. Even though things look so bad, even though things look so awful, I feel like I could be thirsting to death, right? This guy's trying to kill me, right? But yet, right, I will bless you. See, it's a decision. It's a choice. It's a choice of his will. I will bless you while I live. As long as if I die here, I'll be praising you with my last breath, right? But he isn't planning on that, is he? He knows the God factor. Amen? I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. See, he's dealing with probably nothing. He's got nothing except some, guys that joined him, and he's, all this stuff is going on around him. And he's saying, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow. He's using faith, isn't he? He's speaking words of faith. In the face of the desert, he's speaking abundance, right? My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. I bet he had plenty he could have been sorrowful about, pity partying about, but no, he refused it. I will praise you with joyful lips. He's out there rejoicing before God in the desert. Looking for Saul. Where is he, right? Listening for the horses coming, right? Here they come again. No. He knew the God factor, right? When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. See, he's not wasting time worrying at night, laying in bed, tossing and turning, worrying. He's meditating on the love of God, meditating on God, meditating on his word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. And in a desert place, there may not be a whole lot of shadows around, right? But he's saying, you know what? I'm in the shade, covered by your wings. Everything's going to be all right. God's got this. That's a good thing to tell yourself often. God's got this. My Father has it under control. Amen? My soul follows close behind you. Now, our soul, again, is the place of, that's really where the battle is. The mind, the will, and the emotions. I was listening to Pastor Dwayne this morning at Eagle Mountain. He was talking about your spirit, soul, and body, right? He's like, one third of you is perfect before God. Your spirit, man, is born again. But your soul and your body have some learning to do, right? So our soul and our body got to fall in line with the spirit. And this is what David is doing, even under the old covenant here, right? He's saying, my soul follows close behind you. I heard Keith Moore say it this way once, talking about Jesus being my shepherd. He said, you ought to be so close to the shepherd, if he stops, you run into his back. Amen? That's a good word, right? So my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals, which is what happened, right, to Saul eventually. He fell by the sword. And David wasn't like wishing that on them, but he was saying, you know what? They're coming after me, and God chose me to be king, so there's only one way out of this, right? Amen. But the king, now listen to this. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Amen. So David isn't having some self-esteem issue here. He's like, no, I'm the king. I'm the king. So you can call yourself the healed, the rich, the blessed, the joyful, right? Just call yourself what the Word of God says in the midst of any type of desert experience. Amen. And thank God and praise him. Praise him and thank him that he's there walking you through, getting you out. Amen. But I want to look at a couple of verses here as we get closer to wrapping up here. But verse 3 says this, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. So if you needed a reason, there's one, right? His loving kindness, which is his mercy. Why is he going to deliver me from the desert experience? Because he's merciful. So we thank him and we praise him for his mercy, right? But that word praise means to address in a loud tone, to pacify as if by words. It means still. It means triumph. See, David is not conceding to defeat in any way. Yeah, he's hiding for his life, but he's not conceding to defeat in any way, form, or fashion. He's saying, nope, praise God, I will come out on top. And inside, he's still. Everything around him is raging, in the spirit realm, and the enemy is coming after us. But inside, you can be still and know that he is God. Amen? Because the devil has no access to your spirit man, right? He doesn't. He doesn't. It's, again, that verse that where Jesus said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair, right? So we take authority over the devil. We can take authority over him in our neighborhoods, in our schools, our places of business, our cities, our nation, right? We do that through prayer and intercession and so forth. But it starts with this heart. When we come to intercede, when we come to pray, we don't come to pray so we can get somebody killed. Oh, Lord, just kill them. Just send lightning bolts. Right? No. We want them to be saved. Whatever political party they're in, whatever nation, we pray over Iran, we pray over North Korea, we pray over Syria, Russia. Why? Because there are human beings there that are eternal souls that need to be born again. Amen? And it might be even closer to home, somebody in our family. Some offense that happened, we pray for them. When that offense comes up, you pray for them. Okay, devil, since you're trying to bring me that offense, I pray for that person right now to be saved, healed, and delivered, and them and their household. And I release, you keep bringing that to my remembrance, I'll keep praying for them. Thank you. Right? What are you doing? You're saying triumph. No, that is not coming into my heart, that issue, right? And we praise God with a loud voice to pacify as if by words. You praise God for what you want. Don't tell him about how awful the situation is. You praise him that everything is going to be all right. And use your voice. Use your voice. Praise you, Lord, that everything in this situation is going to turn out in my favor because I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Covering your household, whatever it is. Amen. Praise you, Lord, that this church will be established. It is established. We're blessed. God is using it. He's building it. Unless you build the house, we labor in vain anyway. Right? Praise the Lord. So we just praise God for these things. Amen. But then the next verse I noticed was, it was a little bit different word for the word praise. In verse 5 where it says, my soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. That word praise means to be clear, to shine, to give light, to make a show, to be clamorously foolish. I like that one, right? Why? Because to the desert, it's foolish for you to think you're going to survive the desert. Don't you know I'm the desert? Don't you know there's dead things all around here? What makes you think you're going to survive me? Jesus, that's that, and to some, to the devil, to that's foolish for you to think you're somehow going to be. Look at all these other people that are failing and falling and dying and all this kind. What makes you so special? Well, I'm the king. right? I'm God's son. I'm God's daughter. See, you have no access to me. You will fall by the sword and be eaten by jackals. That's fun to say, isn't it, right? Devil, just read the end of Revelation, devil, and you'll see how you end. At the pit, the bottom of the lowest pit of hell, covered in maggots. I've opened crawl spaces like this in pest control, and there's a smell coming up from under the kitchen. And you open the crawl space with your flashlight, and these big, juicy flies come out. And your job is to go find what it is down there and remove it, right? Well, that's how the devil's going to end. And it's funny when you think about it, because he thinks he's all bad and pompous and he's going to just do what he wants. No. This planet belongs to God. He's coming back. And we are going to rule and reign with Jesus. And to the world, that sounds foolish. It sounds foolish. Right? But just go ahead and be a fool for Jesus. I'd rather be a fool for Jesus than a fool for the devil any day. Amen? So we just speak God's words to rave about God, to celebrate God, to commend God, to thank him, to praise him. What are you doing praising God for? You got a bad medical report. Because I'm the king. Because I'm the son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I have what it is I say. Because I say what I want, and I get what I say, and I say what I want, and I get what I say, because I'm not holding anything against anybody. I remember watching Jesse Duplantis once, and there's people that despise, people in the body of Christ I'm talking about, that despise faith message, prosperity, all the, you know, Jesse Duplantis and others. I love the people, and I love the folks that are probably clamoring. They're my family, okay? But just leave the strife outside. But once I was watching Brother Jesse, and he was like, you know why we're all so happy? Because we're not mad at anybody. And I was like, amen. Amen. So why do you think you're going to get your breakthrough? Because I'm not angry at anyone. I'm not holding offenses at anyone. Amen. Because I've forgiven everybody. My trust is in God. That's why I'm clamoring like a fool. But everything's going to be all right. In the middle of this desert experience, when all this stuff is trying to hunt me down and kill me and all this garbage, right? I just laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Get up early in the morning. I'm not tossing and turning at night. I'm meditating on God in the night hours. I did that last night. I stayed up. I had too much pizza during Oregon's desert experience. And so I propped myself up in my easy chair, and I turned on Keith Moore's Week of Increase, and I kind of fell asleep listening. And you know, even if you fall asleep listening to something, your spirit is receiving of it, right? That's why you don't just put anything on your TV, right? And especially falling asleep, right? And so you just keep feeding on the word no matter what time of day or night it is. And man, I'll tell you what, you wake up, like I've heard Brother Copeland say, you wake up, feel like you just ate gunpowder soup. And it's like, come on, come on, come on. We're going to take the hill. We're going to take the hill for Jesus. Amen? But we have a heart to praise God. We shine for him. We give light to the world. Amen? We make a show about how great God is. That's what church is all about. Church is all about making a show of how great God is. We talk about his greatness. We don't come in here to build up problems. We come up here to build up the promises of the Word of God. Amen? And get our faith stirred up for these things. To be clear that we're believing God and his Word. Let's make it clear right now, desert. I declare, desert, you will become the Garden of Eden in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I declare the Northwest people are coming to church from the, not just this church, but all churches. All churches. The moment you think your church is the only one doing it right, that's spooky. Amen. Don't go to that church, right? Are they preaching Jesus? Are they preaching him, came in the flesh, died, resurrected, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, sent the Holy Spirit? Good church. Good church. Amen. So praise the Lord. So we say these things. And it's all about keeping a heart of praise and thanksgiving to God, expecting him to, somebody to say, don't forget the God factor. We're on his side. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and stand up on your feet, and we're going to pray and just thank God for this. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you very much. Amen. Praise God. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word that you brought to us today. We give you the praise and the glory for it. We thank you for it, God. We just give you the praise. Just begin to praise the Lord with your voice. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. We praise you and we thank you. We give you the praises and the glory today, God. We declare that Jesus is Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords over our lives. We celebrate your faithfulness today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just say hallelujah. Everything's going to be all right. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. You are dismissed. Have a blessed rest of your day. Amen.